Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. Damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Welcome to Islam Exposed with your host. I'm Kel Fritzy. You have Tim Burton and you have Dave Milner. We are three different hosts, three different countries, but we have one common denominator, and that is we love our countries. We love our freedom. And we want to see the planet rid of the scourge. Before we get into what we're going to be discussing, though, I would very much like to join in welcoming the fellow host, Ed and Tim. First of all, how are you?
Good evening, Kel. I'm very well indeed, thank you. In fact, unbelievably well. I bet you haven't heard that one before. And how the devil are you this evening?
I'm infidelity fine. And, hey, and we've got Agador joining us as well, and that, of course, is our Dave Milner. And hi, Dave. How are you tonight?
Hi, Kel and Tim. I'm fantastic here in Anti-Jihad Hot Quarters in Burlington, Vermont, where the atmosphere is all hot to expose the nasty underbelly of jihad and Islam. We're ready.
And we are. And the first hour, we're going to discuss something that is very important. But before we delve into the integrated Muslims, are they integrated? I just want to share with you two fine gentlemen something very important to me. My dog is snoring.
Well, I wasn't expecting that, Kel.
Well, I tell you, if you want instant access to world events, you've got to come to the show.
Yeah, I thought at the very least.
People.
I thought at the very least, you know, you might have reported that the chickens have broken out next door and are running around creating mayhem. Chicken jihad in your back garden, you know, that's all you need.
The chickens continue to cluck away.
And
it was
in the
funny,
latest...
I had Dobby Amba in the backyard earlier today, and they were just, ladies and gentlemen, to explain, my next door neighbors, they have chickens, okay, and they tend to get rather vocal, and gentlemen, I had Dobby in the backyard earlier, and they were clucking up a storm, and Dobby's ears were cocked, and he's like, what is that? What is that? If you listen to Red Fox Blogger, whether it be on Radio Jihad Network or RSB or Pundit Press or any other fine devices, you'll hear Kel talk about the chickens.
Well, no, I mean, to be fair, Kel, I mean, it wouldn't be a good evening on the radio if we didn't have the latest update about your chickens. In fact, I think we should have a daily update on if not the Red Fox Blogger website, then at least, you know, on Facebook, where you can share your chicken status with everybody. You know, we'd be delighted to help you spread the word, you know, because these things are important. We know, you know, especially in Toronto, where not much else happens, but, you know. So yes.
Or a daily cluck day.
Daily cluck day.
Oh, jeez. Okay, we keep this up. I'm going to have to mute myself. And ladies and gentlemen, Dave and Tim are taking over the show.
And then you're really in trouble, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah, I'll leave you two to your own devices. Not. No, but it is a Comedy Central around here sometimes, believe me, especially when I have a snoring dog right behind me, and I swear that you guys can probably hear him at times, because he's a pretty big dog, and he, he snores. I think the clucking of the chickens has finally exhausted him.
Well, we do have Annie of Southern Sense in the chat room, and we know that her cats help her do the show. So it's just his way of helping you do the show.
Annie's a cat lady. Oh gosh! Okay, enough of this tomfoolery. Oh, but you know what? I like to share a little bit of my personal life with the listeners, because they know I live in the middle of nowhere, pretty much. I'm in the GTA area. And yes, I have neighbors that are raising chickens, and my dog is rather intrigued by them. So what can I say? But hey, you know what? We do have, for the first hour at the very least, something very important that we have to impart. Now, we talk about this quite often, Tim and myself in particular, and that where will you be when Jihad comes to town. But I find this particular article by the Gatestone Institute rather intriguing. and it's entitled, Are Integrated Muslims Integrated? Now, this is of the utmost importance because what we're seeing happening in Israel, of course, in particular, of course, is the Gazan Arabs and the Israelis are going back and forth. We have noticed that there are much more pronounced protests which break into riots, not only in Europe, but, Tim, but what's happening in Canada and in the United States, Dave, most noticeably was the protests across Western Europe, though. They were overwhelmingly being led by Muslims, okay? These were not considered Islamists. They were just normal, quote-unquote, integrated Muslims. They normally stay home when any other war occurs. But where were their protests, for example, when Qatar was funding Hamas? Now, what is harder for people to address is the lies that feed this violence. This is shocking to me. These otherwise integrated people, they hate Israel and Jews because they have been taught to. A whole generation. This is so true. And, well, we know it's several generations, but let's not kid ourselves. But they have been taught to hate, and that's a lot of hate. And this is something that needs to be tackled. Now, the best place to start might be by tackling the lies and defamations that are allowed to go on underneath every nose, such as the frivolous and false accusations of Israeli genocide. That bothers me a great deal. War crimes. That bothers me a great deal. Now, the problem is worse than anyone had ever thought because the Gaza war has been disturbing Europe for a very long time. The Gaza war has produced flagrantly anti-Semitic protests, attacks on Jews, and the burning down of Jewish buildings. For example, I'll propose one example in particular, the Hasidic Jew that was shot down in Florida last week. They still have not found the suspect, the perpetrators. Now, they're coming out in droves. They're protesting. The protests, they've come to as a surprise to a lot of us, but it shouldn't be a surprise because, as I aforementioned, that when Jihad comes to town, where will you stand? We are finding that happy, smiley Muslim is Mohammedan, rather, is going to turn against us. I find this rather frightening. I'm going to ask Tim, first of all, Tim, you being in Europe, you're probably seeing more fallout due to the Israeli Gazan Arab conflict fallout. Are you seeing it in your personal streets, or do you read it in your national dailies? And what do you think about this development?
Well, it's certainly happening all over Europe. And while it hasn't quite come to my street yet, we have had protests in the UK, in London. We've had several protests, each one bigger than the last. And the protests, while not being of quite the riotous nature that we've had in Europe. I mean, for example, in France, we have seen demonstrations that have actually turned into quite severe riots with Jewish businesses being destroyed, synagogues being attacked, and Jews being attacked in the street. It is certainly very, very worrying. I mean, well, it doesn't really come as a surprise to anybody, I wouldn't have thought, who's done a little bit of research on the subject and understands what it is that drives Muslims with their ideology to produce this level of Jew hatred. Our political elites and our mainstream media, and that's not just in the UK, but all throughout Europe, political elites and mainstream media are going out of their way to paint Muslims as peaceful people who wouldn't harm a fly and who by and large are well integrated with the rest of the population. It begs the question really of what you really mean by well integrated, because as we can see, when you have a conflict like the Israel-Gaza conflict that's sprung up since the it's been simmering for a long time, but the open hostilities that sprung up on the 8th of July very quickly led to enormous demonstrations in almost every city in Europe, well, certainly every major city in Europe. And all of a sudden, politicians are sitting up and saying, maybe they're not quite, maybe we thought we could keep a lid on this until such time as our pensions matured and we could go off and enjoy a nice retirement in the sunshine, and it would be somebody else's problem. But the fact is that something of this nature brings Muslims out on the street. Why does it bring Muslims out on the street when hundreds of thousands of people have been killed by Muslims in Iraq and Syria? Well, quite simply, because there are Jews involved. And the anti-Semitic Jew hatred hasn't sprung out of nowhere. It is taught to Muslims. Douglas Murray, in the article in the Gatestone Institute, was quite right when he said that Muslims have been taught to hate. This hasn't come out of nowhere. And the teaching comes straight from the Quran and the other Islamic texts that tell Muslims that Jews are worse than apes and pigs, or at least equivalent to apes and pigs in Islamic ideology, and therefore Muslims feel quite justified in being extremely ruthless to them, and they get incensed whenever they hear of any Jews that dare to stand up to Muslims and fight back and actually kill Muslims in some conflict or another. That's absolutely appalling as far as Muslims are concerned, even though it's Muslims that are initiating this Jew hatred in the first place. If it were not for Muslims, there would be no conflict in Israel or Gaza, because Jews, by and large, would like to live peacefully with one another as equals with one another, with other communities and other cultures. They would prefer to live in peace as equals in perpetuity. The problem, of course, with Islam is that simply will not allow it as far as Muslims are concerned. And therefore, to say that Muslims are integrated in any Western country rather begs the question, what is the definition of integrated? Because it's certainly not sharing the same common values as the rest of us. Muslims, as we know, take their values from the Quran, the Hadith, the Sirah, altogether Quran and Sunnah, and that is vehemently anti-Semitic. The Quran itself has actually got more Jew hatred in it than has Mein Kampf. So it's hardly surprising that when Jews are involved in any kind of conflict with Muslims somewhere in the world, and it's more likely to be around Israel, of course, because that's where you have a lot of Jews in the Israeli state, obviously, Muslims get upset about it. But they do so because that is what they have been taught. And our politicians and mainstream media have been doing their level best to hide this fact from us. And in fact, you could say that the conflict coming at this time has done us all a favour by bringing this fact out into the open. And before I develop that theme anymore, I'll pass the mic back, and maybe you'd like to ask Dave what his input is on it. But I'll pass the mic back to you.
I most certainly would, because this is quite a loaded topic. I just want to apprise people in a moment. We're going to bring Jan Renning of the Christian Defense League onto the program. But Dave, yes, please continue with your viewpoints.
All right. Well, I was thinking about this last night, and the question is how integrated are integrated Islamists? Now, one of the important things that has come out with this Israel-Gaza conflict is suddenly now you see people coming out of the woodwork in all these countries, ready to protest, ready to beat people up, and break stuff. And as far as I know, no one's been killed yet in any of these riots, but I think it's just a matter of time. It's almost a militaristic thing because, as Mike Holt of Restore Australia puts it, Islam is many things, many kinds of ideology, and one of them is military. Each Islamist is, in their own way, a jihadi, ready for the holy struggle, and a soldier of Islam. What did we see on the business card of Major Nidal Hassan? SOA, soldier of Allah. And this is true. And this is true of all Islamists, whatever you're told in the larger media. This is true of all Islamists. It's just the difference in the jihad. And when a more kinetic version of jihad is required, then the monster can be let out of its cage, and it is, and we're seeing the results of that. And I'd like to say one more thing here. And I was thinking about this subject last night because it's really easy to kind of dismiss this one. Well, are integrated Muslims really integrated? I mean, it's really easy just to say, no, next subject. But it goes deeper than that. If you look at population densities between, say, Iraq and France or Belgium and the UK and Canada and the United States, you see a very heavy one on one end and a fairly light one on the other. And as the population density of Islamists increases, you see stronger and more violent forms of protest, and you see a stronger and more virulent insistence on Islam being the government and the chief driver of society in these countries. And that's my two centagos. I will pass the mic back to you, Kel.
And I would really like to bring Jan Rennie into the conversation. This is something that Jan has been discussing on her own radio program. And ladies and gentlemen, you can hear Jan Rennie at the Christian Defense League Sunday afternoons, Eastern Time at 2 p.m. But if I'm wrong, Jan will correct me. But Jan, welcome to the program. It is a pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank you so much, Kelly. It's an honor to be on your show. Hello, Dave and Tim.
Hello.
Hello, Jan.
Hello, Tim. It's been a long time since we spoke.
Yes,
concerning
please.
This program you've got today about is, you know, are integrated Muslims integrated? I can only speak of my experience being born and brought up in Birmingham. Mm. Traveling through the Alum Rock area, you know, going through Muslim areas as a child. They came here in the early 60s. In the early 70s when I kind of started to recognize them, late 60s, early 70s, asking my dad, what's that on the bus like, you know, as they were dressed differently. And most of the elderly men, and then you call them elderly because they were in the 40s. I don't think they had a lifespan past 40 when they were in their own country. They all had the pock marks and smallpox, and that intrigued the child, of course. But they were very, very polite back then, the first immigrants, the male immigrants. You didn't see much of the women. And they stepped aside on pavements if you were in their area, which used to be our areas of shopping, of course, and slowly they came in. And they were very, very polite, but these were the first people in here. And they didn't show their true colors. They're still not. The elderly ones are still not showing their true colors. What I've learned from the experience of, and Dave has just talked about density and population. This density and population, in my opinion, is just a show of strength. The more people that arrive, the more people that are born, the busier and more heavily populated areas is when they get, if you like, inverted commas, cocky. This is where they show their strength. Now, we're talking about youngsters. When you think about, we're now into the third generation in Birmingham, probably the UK. Well, I'd say England, because they're not really in Scotland as such for the past 20 years, yes, but not like 40, 50 years ago. The younger generation, some of them have never even seen their grandparents' homeland. Now, these grandparents are the ones that emigrated to the UK. the quiet ones, the ones who stepped up the pavement, the ones who were very, very polite. Then we got their parents that was born about the same time as me, if you like, here in the 50s, who possibly never even saw their father's country. Maybe some of them did. But they learned how to live here because they were also born here like I was. Now we're into the next generation, and the toddlers, of course, are now the fourth generation. And they're not only not integrated, they have no intentions of integrating. What they want to achieve is to turn my country into an Islamic country. So there is no way of any integration. And right, we're going to have people say, what about the moderate Muslims? Well, let me tell you about the moderate Muslims. I watched a video this morning. You might have known it was Chowdhury, but it was a few years back, and I've never seen it before. And he stated on a video that no Muslim will ever condemn the actions of another Muslim. It is a sin against Allah and the Quran. I don't know the verses, have no idea about the Quran as such, but no Muslim will ever condemn another Muslim. This is probably why we never have any moderates within the UK protesting about the deaths of anyone, the bus blowing up, the tube, Lee Rigby. They're not going to speak out because it's going against Islam. They are Muslim brothers. I also found out another thing this morning. The women are not so innocent. The Muslim Sisterhood, I believe, Tim, you could probably verify this.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just going to ask Tim to address that because Tim knows all about that, and it's rather shocking. Tim, you write quite often about this on Brenner Brief, and just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please read Tim at the Brenner Brief. The link is right there in the show highlights. But Tim, please address that.
Well, what Jan says, of course, is quite right. I'm trying to think, as we're speaking, what the specific verse concerning Muslims not taking sides is. The closest one that I can think is Quran chapter 5, verse 51, which tells Muslims that they must not be friends with Jews and Christians. And there is another verse, which to my eternal shame, I can't think of the chapter and verse number, but it says that you should treat, or if you're a Muslim, you should be kind to other Muslims. And by kind, they're talking about supporting in every way. But when it comes to non-believers, you must be ruthless to them, and the ways in which you can be ruthless to them are explained and elaborated on in another 164 verses, which basically tell Muslims that it's perfectly okay to treat non-believers with violence. I mean, yes, you know, there's too many verses to actually quote on a show like this, but there are 164 of those, and consequently, what Jan says is quite right. No Muslim is going to stand up and denounce his fellow Muslim to a kuffar. I mean, you know, they might talk amongst themselves and say, well, you know, Abdul shouldn't have done that. He really should not have cut that guy's head off, you know, but it's too late now, so we'll have to support him. You know, you can just imagine them all sitting around and saying, oh, we're not going to tell the kuffar that Abdul just cut that bloke's head off, you know, because then the kuffar would come and arrest him, you know. So there is a very, very strong, tight-knit... it's like the mafia. That's probably the closest... analogy I can think of, where you would not, as a member of the mafia, you would not denounce another member of the mafia to anybody outside the group. There's the concept of omerta in Italian, which I think just means silence, or it implies silence when you're interacting with anybody who's outside the group, and somebody who's in the mafia just will not denounce anybody in that's one of his brothers effectively in the mafia to anybody outside. And it's exactly the same with Islam, which is why if you were to describe Islam as the mafia but with religion thrown in, you wouldn't be too far off. And I think that's one of the things that's in the Psalm 929 that Kel plays sometimes, where it refers to Islam as a mafia.
Yeah,
and it's a very apt analogy.
Yeah, when we do our Monday show, 929 is our opening song, but we have suspended that temporarily because we are showing our support for Israel as they undergo the siege by the Arab Gazans. And we have been playing a song by Tim.
Yes, it's a lovely Israeli song by a lovely woman whose name I cannot remember either. leaving the song aside, moving right along. Jan, I think, was about to say something about the Muslim sisterhood. Now, I don't know if you want to bring Dave in for his two cents before we let Jan move on to that, Kel, but I'll pass the microphone back to you.
I think that's a pretty good idea. Dave is there, and he has things to say, and I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to address this. So go ahead, Dave.
Thank you. And yeah, Jan speaks wise words. Yeah, I am here,
yes,
and I have things to say. There's a conversation going on in the chat room about another group of individuals. I think people from Eastern Europe in certain parts of the UK. And I have I have one person in here who says there aren't very many, and they don't really seem to bother very much. And another person who says that there are large numbers of them in the villages around them, and they're becoming a nuisance. Now, as we know, Islamists are far more than a nuisance, but I think this helps to prove our point. When a group of people come into an area and there aren't very many of them, they're going to assimilate because they have to. They really have no choice. They're very few, and the larger society is very many. And once they begin gaining population and things like that, then they can begin insisting on things that they want as larger groups. Now, the difference, I think, between a lot of other groups and Islamists is what Islamists want to do, to go to Jan's point, is whoever is listening to this in archive, live, or anything else, what Islamists want to do is turn your country into their country. And their country is just basically the caliphate, the state of Islam. Islam taking over all aspects of society, and your society will be brushed aside as their population grows large enough and as they get more and more opportunity to make that happen. And I'll turn the mic back over.
I want to continue to address this article. Jan has brought up salient points, as has everybody here. We're dissecting an article called "Are Integrated Muslims Integrated?" This is from the Gatestone Institute. I'll put the link in the chat room in a moment. The smiling Muslim, who is your neighbor, they are showing the cracks are showing. That's the only way I can put it, that the cracks are showing through. And with this particular fallout, what's going on in Israel and Gaza, it's unbelievable. Like the Gaza war, it's been very disturbing, and it's global. It's affecting Europe. This particular article just addresses Europe, but it's happening in the United States, it's happening in Canada, in Australia. Now, this has produced a lot of flagrant anti-Semitic protests and attacks on Jews, and I mentioned earlier about that Hasidic Jew that was shot to death in Florida. They're burning down Jewish buildings. These protests have come as a surprise to parts of the European public and the North American public and of the Australian
mm-hmm.
public, but nowhere more so than in Germany, which is surprising to me. What, like in Germany, there's a hatred that we thought that Germany had gotten rid of because Germany is the only Western European country that has actual laws on books that denigrating Jews is an indictable offense. But they're even stepping it up in Germany, the Muslims. I find this rather disturbing. It's finding its way back onto the European streets. There is groups in Europe that monitor anti-Semitic hate crimes, but for many years they've been ahead of the public curve in understanding that these attacks are no longer carried out by white neo-Nazi skinhead thugs. That's right. That's not the case anymore. It is now being carried out by the Mohammedans, and they are getting a free pass with this. I would like to address this to Jan. And Jan, I want to have your input. Are you seeing a huge surge in anti-Semitism where you are?
Well, as you know, I'm in Scotland, so I don't see a great deal of that here. But within England, do you know what shocks me, actually, Cal?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the social media. I have seen people on here that have been friends with us for quite some time who have suddenly turned on Israel. Two or three. I'm not saying great numbers, but two or three. Now, in my opinion, they haven't suddenly turned, but they've been hiding what they really feel. How can you be anti-Islamic and then all of a sudden be pro-Palestinian? This I have seen a few times on here, on the internet, and it's very disturbing. In the general population, nobody talks about it. Nobody has a go about the Jews, you know, in the streets or in conversations in public houses or wherever. So, no, I don't see that. I saw a post this morning which was absolutely ridiculous, quoting what the Jewish people get up to, and I'm thinking, I'm not even going to get involved in that because, you know, I'm just wasting my time because you can't change these people. Some of these so-called people that's on our side, if you like, infidels that's on our side, in my opinion, can't see further than their noses. They are starting to condemn the Jews and support Palestinians.
Yeah.
Not in great numbers, but I see it as showing their true colors. But,
I totally agree.
The Israelis
agree,
are not threatening to cut our heads off. They are not raping and grooming our children, our young girls.
Thank you.
You know, they want peace. They want peace and world peace, but we're not going to get it. As long as we've got Islamic extremists, i.e. as well, moderates, because there's no such thing in my opinion. But I want to quickly go back, if I can, to this this integration. Several months ago, there was an EDL events page put up, and I agree if I'm going, and you know you tick these events pages. And then there was a conversation in there. And you know that you always get the leftists and the liberals in there and a few Muslims. I was most surprised that two Muslim girls and a white convert came in without any, you know, no one was talking about the subject of rape jihad, grooming of young Christian girls within the UK. And these girls put up, one girl put up, they deserve it, the way they dress. And I said, excuse me, how old are you? 19. I said, you're Muslim? Yes. I said, you support your Islamic brothers in the raping and grooming of the... Yes, because they deserve it, the way they dress. You know, and then the convert came in, which I just brushed aside because she was just a nutcase. But the other Muslim girl also So I brought up the question of FGM, you know, female genital mutilation, as we call it. And they're completely, these are 19 and 21, the other one was, 19 and 21-year-old girls who think that, yes, it's fine to have this procedure done as children. And I'm thinking, my God,
Yeah. They
were born here, and yet they're still following this crazy Islamic tradition. So, you know, what hope have we got if the third, fourth generation have no intention of integrating, and as the numbers grow, as Dave said, with density and population, they get the strength. It can only get worse. We have to stop this.
I'm going to pass the mic to Tim in a moment, but I want to read this verbatim from this article from Gatestone Institute. And Tim, you are going to be able to back up everything Jan says, I'm quite sure, is that most noticeable was that the protests across Western European cities have overwhelmingly been led by Muslims, not Islamist or Islamist groups in particular, but by extremely angry Muslims, especially young Muslims, who stay at home when any other war occurs anywhere in the world, but who seem spurred to anger whenever Israel is involved in any conflict with any of its neighbors. The crowds appear deaf to the reasonable charge that they are singling Israel out for special treatment. They are unwilling to consider that they are perpetrating a grotesque double standard, where were their protests against Qatar for funding Hamas, e.g., but they otherwise seem like normal integrated Muslims. And Tim, please, if you could expand on that.
Yeah, certainly. Well, this article in the Gatestone Institute was written by Douglas Murray, who's a very fine author. On this particular article, there's a couple of things I need to take issue with. One is that he's trying to posit a difference between Islamists and moderate Muslims. And I say there is no difference. Islam is Islam, and that's it, as the Prime Minister of Turkey once memorably said, Erdogan. And it's only a question of the degree. Who goes out and actually cuts people's heads off in the street? Well, you know, that's an Islamist. Who is part of the support group behind him that will effectively encourage and condone what he does? Well, that's your moderate Muslim. And when Muslims say, well, of course, you know, we don't have anything to do with this, they're just practicing taqiyya, because they all support everybody who is a devout Muslim must by definition support every aspect of what is in the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sirah that make up the Quran and Sunnah together, the Islamic trilogy. They must support it. There is no question. If a devout Muslim has any questions about it and he publicly announces that he's got questions about it, he's likely to find himself declared an apostate and killed. So the whole concept of a difference between Islamists and the rest of the Muslims. I mean, our political elites have been telling us for ages that it's only a tiny minority of Muslims that are responsible for all the troubles within the world of Islam. That line, that official line that has been parroted to us for decades now, 3 or 4 decades, 30 or 40 years, it's a complete lie. It's a complete lie. And that's why people like Douglas Murray are suddenly finding that maybe there's a bit more to this than we've actually been told. And of course there is a bit more to it, and it's all based on the fact that we have been lied to over and over again over the past 30 or 40 years. And that's why when we get something like the Israel-Gaza conflict that brings out Muslims onto the streets, everybody is acting so surprised. But people like you and me and our listeners and our guests, we're not that surprised because we understand what it is that makes Muslims tick, what it is that drives Muslims to do what they do and to behave how they behave, and why they will never be truly integrated into Western civilization. It is just, they do not have, as long as they cling to Islam in the way that devout Muslims are expected to, they will not have the mental capacity to consider any other viewpoint other than that of Islam. Islam tells them exactly how to think, and it also tells them that if they dare to think any other way, then they are not true Muslims. And of course, if you're not a true Muslim and you are seen not to be a true Muslim, well, worst case, your peers could turn on you and kill you. It's that serious, and that's why you see so few people, I should say, apostatizing or publicly apostatizing from Islam, and everybody else toes the line. And if one group of Muslims comes out and says we don't like this because Jews are defending themselves in Israel against our glorious brothers who are being oppressed in Gaza, all the other Muslims, they say, yeah, that's right, and they'll quite happily come out on the street. And they really believe it. They've actually got this mindset which says, in the Quran, it says that Jews are no better than apes and pigs, and therefore they can be treated as subhuman, and there is, you know, it's not to be questioned. It's the word of Allah. And if it's the word of Allah and you as a Muslim question it, then you're no longer a Muslim. So what we're seeing is really no surprise at all. But before I can feel myself getting into a circular argument there, so I'm going to pass the mic back to you and get you to bring Dave in for his two cents once again. And back to you, Kel.
Oh, Tim, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant points. I've been reading down this article, and there is a boy band out there called One Direction, and that comes out of Britain. And one of the members is Zayn Malik, and he happens to be Muslim, and he's getting political with this. It's unusual for boy bands to get involved in politics this way, but he has been tweeting hashtags to do with Free Palestine. The reason why I'm concentrating on this particular point is because One Direction is a very highly popular boy band. They appeal to the girls, but they, when they put their viewpoints out there via Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is, it influences young minds. I'm concerned about this. I am concerned that One Direction would allow one of their band members to engage in such a political firestorm. And we see this all the time in North America. And Dave, I'm going to ask you a question in a moment about this. Is that, do you think, okay, you know what? I'm totally going to ask you a totally direct question, Dave, because you're taking the mic. And that, do you think that celebrities have a place in directing discourse? This is something that disturbs me. I have always been of the mind that if you're an entertainer, just shut up and sing. But we're seeing more and more entertainers coming out and speaking their political minds. I don't think it belongs in the public discourse. Dave, what do you think about that?
Well, that's a very large can of worms, but I'll try and reduce it to about 16 ounces. celebrities here in the United States have said, for instance, well, we're citizens, we're taxpayers, we have just as much a right to speak out on subjects as you do, and on the face of it, they're correct, but these are also people who, as you so rightly point out, Kel, can influence thousands of people at a word. Coming out on some political subject or other is also a great way for them to get their faces out there so people don't forget who they are, and that is good for their business and their pocket. So they're going to make an effort to come out and talk about whatever it is, whether they believe in it or not. Is it disturbing? When it backs Islam, it certainly is, because I covered this in a show some time back. Speaking about who does and who doesn't live in the real world, and most celebrities obviously don't. They have tremendous amounts of money. They're never going to be unprotected. They're always going to be provided for. So they really don't live like the rest of us. But they have, as I've said, no problem coming out and speaking out on various subjects. Israel has been one of them, as we've seen. We've seen celebrities speak out on both sides. Sadly, too many on the side of the Palestinians, or the Gazan Arabs, rather, excuse me. As far as this boy band goes, this is very interesting, especially because I'm going to do a show on the Unpleasant Blind Guy about messaging to younger kids. And yes, messaging is very important, and it can influence young minds. And you can get young people to do what I've seen so many young people doing in the UK now. I'm talking about young Islamists, young Muslims in the UK, France, and here in the United States. These people popping up whenever the opportunity presents itself and rioting and trying to assert their culture again. And yes, these people will use these boy bands, writers, poets, whatever they can to bolster this culture of hate that is Islam in their minds. So yes, Kel, it's very important, and I will pass the mic back to you.
We're approaching the top of the hour, and we have something that we want to play regarding Robin Williams. And, of course, we want to take our musical break so that everybody can refresh their coffees, teas, get their water bottles. But did I say Annie? I think I did. Jan. But, Jan, you speak about this so often on your show, Christian Defense League, heard right here on Blog Talk Radio, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Sunday afternoons, my time. There are examples such as these demonstrations that we're observing these now. It seemed, Jan, that when we first started out about maybe 5 years ago when the Internet became much more powerful, we really weren't paying attention. But now the Internet is so powerful, and we're seeing so many examples of dissension within our host countries, and I mean Western countries, and that these people come over here, whether they be immigrants, and a lot of them, of course, are born, whether it be Canada, the UK, the United States, Australia, but they are turning against the host countries. They're turning their backs against the very people that have given them a step up. And it's amazing that this is allowed to continue, that they are allowed to, in an unfettered manner, to have these protests and literally hold up placards saying death to Jews. And Tim is going to talk about this a little later, and this involves George Galloway and his declaration that Tower Hamlets is a Jew-free zone.
But, Bradford to Kel.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem.
Jan, when you would see this happening, this is England. This has been going on for a number of years.
We used to call it creeping Sharia. We've known for quite some time it's more like galloping Sharia. But, you know, you mentioned that how they're showing their power now, which takes us back to the density of and the people. But I want to quickly go back to what Dave was talking about. I just want to put my views on that about and these entertainers. I remember several years ago at the Oscars, and it annoyed. I've not watched the Oscars since, actually. Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins used to, when they first went on the stage, when they got their Oscars, and they turned it into a political forum. I'm totally against that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you, Jen. I love the thing.
Yeah.
They should never have had acting careers after that. As good as actors as they are, they used the Oscars for a political stage. And this boy in...
One Direction.
One Direction. I know where the One Direction should be for this Malik, because he spoke out about something last year. I don't know who their managers are. I presume it's Louis Walsh. The boy should be fired.
Yeah.
You know, there's five of them. One missing wouldn't go amiss. They can always get someone else. But this little Muslim kid who thinks he's now...
I could do that. How hard could it be?
Yeah. A little prodigy of...
I'd love to see you to him in spandex.
Oh, yes, that would be good.
Hey, but no, ladies.
Thank you for that visual, Kel.
Hey, if George Galloway
can do it, come on.
George Galloway, I mean, I don't want to go into the next hour what you're going to talk about, but he's admitted, you know, this man is financing, he's got trainers to train these people. No doubt he's even booking their passages and which way to go, you know, the maps to get across into Turkey, into Iraq, wherever. This man needs locking up. He has admitted what he does. We've all witnessed what he's done, but that's going into the next hour. This gallop in Sharia within our countries. You mentioned Germany earlier. I mean, do we still have anti-Semitic teenagers from Germany that you know, I'm not sure about this, Cal. Whether we have a generation of 20-year-olds who thought that maybe Hitler was right,
are they left-wing?
Exactly.
Are they joining the Islamists because they have their hatred of Jews? I'm not sure, because we have that within the UK. We have our own Nazis who have got this blinkered vision of, oh, if only Hitler had won the war. They don't even think about their grandparents and the sacrifices that generation made and the amount of people that was lost in that Second World War. Yes, we have our Nazis, and I suspect Germany has probably more, and are jumping on this anti-Semitic bandwagon. It's not good.
You bring up a really good point.
I wish these people would jump on the same bandwagon against Islamists.
You bring up a really good point about the bandwagon issue, and I seem to notice that it is a lot of converts that are the most vocal and the most ferocious in their hatred towards Israel. And I'm wondering if Islam is recruiting more because of the current conflict going on over there.
Possibly.
Yeah.
You know, these young Nazis, as white indigenous Nazis, they can get into a lot of trouble, but as converts into the Muslim faith, they have that protection. You know.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable to me that we can have people living in our westernized, generous societies, and they can engage pretty much free fall in denigrating Israel. They get away with their speeches in the public square. We have that in Canada, and that when Eid ends, we have the Al-Quds rallies in Queen's Park in Toronto, for example, and they can literally say death to Jews. This most certainly bothers me. It's not only about the Israeli Gaza conflict. This is a general observation. Mohammedans are all over the place in saying that, you know, we're going to kill the Jews.
Yeah, can you imagine if I stood on a podium with a microphone and said, death to all Muslims, et cetera, or anybody. Can you imagine they would be arrested, you know, and there would be a prosecution? But these people are openly standing in every major city in the UK, you know, they're doing this. And they intend to do more this weekend.
Yeah, for once
and
they're
the
being
police,
honest.
The police appear to be protecting them. I don't know whether you saw that video a few weeks back a couple of weeks back at the very beginning of this renewed conflict, shall I put it that way. It was a Saturday afternoon in Cardiff and the Islamists was doing a demo.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it for 12 minutes. There was not a police officer in sight. But what was happening was there was a nice little pub out in the main street on a sunny Saturday afternoon, and there was men and women and, you know, sitting at the tables having the Saturday afternoon drink. And up come the demo with all the Islamists, and they started throwing bottles or bricks, whatever. And, of course, someone threw a chair back, and then they just grabbed the Muslims just grabbed the chairs and the tables, and they were just throwing them towards the pub. It was mayhem. And you could see people get on the cell phones to ring the police. You could hear the sirens, but in that 12 minutes, there was not a police officer. However, they investigated afterwards, and there was no arrest. Now, there was footage from, we know in the UK, every pub has footage, you know, CCTV cameras outside, the shops have them. So they've got every angle they could wish to have. We saw close-ups of these Islamists attacking infidels, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
They never said anything. They wasn't there demoing against them. They wasn't there doing a counter-demo. They were having a Saturday afternoon drink in a cordoned-off area outside a pub. And the Islamists attacked them. Not one arrest. And they said
not
they were investigating afterwards, and then nothing. Nothing.
We're going to take a break right now. And we're going
well,
to...
I'm going to get off, Cal.
Do you have to go?
Done.
Are you sure? I don't want you to go.
It's you're doing a great show here. And you have plenty to talk about. I really don't want to get into Chowdhury because there's one person I really think should be locked up. Well, I'm going to say it. I think he should be executed publicly. He is the biggest instigator in our country, the biggest terrorist.
Yeah, I hear you.
And he walks the streets. He walks the streets. And when you see how many people of ours have been arrested, you know, Tommy spending 18 months in prison, 12 months in prison, for doing less in his speeches. He never threatened to kill anyone or called for anyone to kill anyone. Chowdhury does it all the time. He's been doing it for years. And on that note, Cal, thank you very much for having me. And Tim, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah,
Jan.
Welcome.
And please tell people where they can hear your show, Christian Defense League, on Blog Talk Radio before you go.
We actually changed our times because we were kind of, the EDL show is on in UK is on 8:30 till 10:30. We originally, that Dave and Paul mess me up with the times all the time, but we were doing 7 UK till 9, and we've changed it now to 6 till 8. We were supposed to be closing down for the demonstration period, but we keep getting shows or someone asks us to do one. So Sunday is 6 UK time till 8, which would be, would that be 1 o'clock for you, Cal?
Mm-hmm.
And for Central America,
it
would
be 3 o'clock, Jan, I think, because they're 5 hours behind for Cal. Sorry, 6 to... No, my apologies. My apologies, you were right. Take no notice of me, I've got this wonky watch.
1 o'clock for Cal, and for the rest of it, for Central USA, is midday.
And so, Tim and myself will be joining you on your show Sunday.
You will be joining us on Sunday, yes. So please, all of you out there, listen in. We just do an impromptu show. We just have a chat and a coffee and a few cigarettes. You don't smoke anymore, do you, Cal? It must be up a year now.
Oh, I quit smoking 2.5 years ago.
Are you gone as fast as that?
We're on e-cigs now.
E-cigs?
Yep, I have
yeah.
my e-cigs. Yep, yep. And I don't even have nicotine in them anymore. It's just vapor with flavors. I don't even allow nicotine to enter my
mostly
system anymore.
Mostly dog flavor. Mostly dog flavor by the sound of it.
So, yes, it's been a great show. Very, very interesting, Cal, as always. And I'll get off now and say thank you very much for having me. Christian Defence League is broadcasting at 6 UK time on Sunday, and Kel and Tim will be joining us. And Dave, if you feel like you can call in, then please do so.
I'll make sure Dave gets the link.
Thank you for joining us, Jan. It's been really a pleasure to meet you.
Yes, the same here. So I'll say goodbye and God bless you all and keep up the good work.
Yeah, good night, Jan.
Thank you. Good night, Jan.
Okay. Bye-bye, all.
Bye-bye, Jan. Thank you so much. And that was Jan Rennie of the Christian Defense League. And she is a tireless worker in the counter-jihad movement. It's an honor that she called in and spoke with us. I cannot say enough about this lady. She has been working for years and years and years. She works harder than most people I know. I am so very proud to be associated with Jan. We're going to take a break, and what I want to do, though, is that we want to pay an homage to Robin Williams, who passed away this week, right? Unfortunately, the great comedian that made us laugh with all his movies and all his stand-up, all his sitcoms, he unfortunately passed away this week at his own hand. But he was also a bit of a counter-jihadist. We're going to play a clip of his, and he's talking about 72 Virginians. Well, actually, he called them 71 Virginians, but but I just want to warn people. I want to warn the audience, and I want to warn young mothers with little kids. You might want to clear the kids out of the room because there are quite the expletives in this. But you know what? It's Robin Williams, and this is him at his best as a counter-jihadist, and I'm going to click on that right now, gentlemen.
One of the fundamental things is in a jihad. That sounds like a country western term, like jihad. But if in a jihad you kill an infidel, which I am said to say is all of us, and you yourself die, you go to heaven and you are greeted by 71 dark-haired virgins. Now, anyone who's ever been with one virgin's going, I don't know.
For my talent portion,
No. And recently, there was an article in the New York Times, the Quran scholar said, the actual translation is not 71 dark-haired virgins, but 71 crystal-clear raisins. Slight difference in interpretation, really? That's very strange. Like finding out thou shalt not kill is thou shalt not wear a kilt. And the Scottish are going, fuck off! No, and imagine some guy blows himself up, goes to the gates of heaven saying, where are my bitches? Here are your raisins. Or 71 Virgils going, you got a pretty mouth. Or one day we get Osama bin Laden, he goes to the gates of heaven, there's George Washington waiting, going, how dare you defile that which we created, and starts wailing on his ass. 70 other members of the Continental Congress come down and start kicking the shit out of him. And then he's going, what is this, where are the virgins? 71 Virginians, you asshole!
And And that was Robin Williams. And as you know, he had strong opinions about jihad. I am so in awe of his prowess. This man entertained us for well over 30 years. It's hard to imagine somebody that was so talented that could fall into the depths that he did and finally steer his own course in a rather devastating way. But this, we really liked him. Eh, Dave?
Oh yes. Well, since he's one of mine, I'll wade in briefly. We didn't always agree as far as politics goes, but he was one of those people, I think, that, and you and I discussed this over Skype, Kel, he's one of these very rare people on the left side of the aisle, in what you guys in the UK might call the Labour Party and so forth, who actually does believe that Islam is a fundamental threat. There are people like that who understand the existential threat that Islam poses to civilization, and that includes the civilization that they have contributed to over the years. Whatever one might think of that contribution, it is still there. And Robin Williams was intelligent enough to recognize the threat of Islam. And while, I wasn't really crazy about some of the things he said about, for instance, Governor Palin and things like that, he at least had his head on straight about Islam. And I'll just say, for myself, I preferred his stand-up and his improv comedy. He was quite brilliant at that. He was a student of Jonathan Winters, who was also good at that. I prefer that to his movies, but he did have a brilliant mind. And it really is a shame that he didn't get out there on the road more towards the end. I think that might have been helpful to him. And it's a shame to see him go. And I'll throw the mic back to you.
I have somebody here who would like to join in the conversation. And that is our very own Jeff Mitchell. And Jeff, hello.
Jeff.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
What up?
Welcome,
I must say. I've been listening very patiently to your great show, you, Tim, and of course our very own Agador. God bless you, buddy. What can I say? I'm glowing in the dark once again, guys. It's been like a firework display when I've been using the toilet, guys. It's amazing scene. My toilet is glowing. Talk about
that's
you light up my life, Tim.
Jeff, don't was show that? Me shiny things.
Well, not those shiny things, for
ladies,
sure.
Your listeners are probably wondering what we're on about, Kel. So maybe I'll explain a little bit.
Jeff, go ahead. Fill everybody in. Jeff, you've been undergoing treatments at your local hospital for tests and stuff, and they inserted rather unsavory things inside. And now you glow in the dark.
I'm glowing in the dark. Talk about a candle in the wind. I'm radiating. what it is, see, guys, what they want to do is check out. I'm talking about the wider, the audience out there, Kel, probably wonder what we're talking about. But my heart, they injected some radiation stuff. So into my heart. So, and then they put me through a scanner. Well, this is 2 days I've been at the hospital. I feel like I'm part of the hospital system now, I'm walking through doors, doors start ringing and making weird noises, and God knows what I've been doing. Lights keep coming on and off when I'm walking along. It's been amazing. I've been a bit concerned, though, because they did say, my hearing's not that brilliant, They did say to me when I was leaving the hospital, I thought they said, make sure you don't get any women pregnant. But it wasn't that. I said, I beg your pardon, because I started giggling. They said, make sure you stay away from pregnant women. I thought, thank God for that. I ain't got the energy to make women pregnant now. So, you know, it's like as you get a little bit older, your hearing gets a bit bad. But as I say,
on the plus side, Jeff, I hear they have hired you to provide the all the power for Blackpool Illuminations this year. So
well,
it can't be
actually,
bad.
I'm supplying Ipswich at this moment in time. Well,
you've
got to
start small, haven't you? You've got to start somewhere. So that seems
well. Well, at least, you know. Oh, we'll be lighting up the whole of the UK soon. Bugger the Saudi with their oil and that. I'll keep everybody. Just keep putting the radioactive shit in me.
Well, at least you don't need batteries for your remote, Jeff. So, you know, you can save money on that.
You got it, Dave. But the thing about it is, it's really good, though, when you go and have a pee, though, I've got to admit, it's because it's like a fireworks display. You know, it's brilliant. You know, all the colours, is, you know. It's like the 4th of July it is. But I'm only joking, guys. It's not really like that. It's just me just glowing a bit. But it's very, very tiring, though. You know, I've been up there 2 days in a trot, guys. 3 hours yesterday, 3 hours today. But so I'm glad, I had Kel rolling up a lot. I'm not being as quite as naughty. And
Laura doesn't
extreme.
Keep me rolling up or something.
She was, Dave and Tim, you know what I'm like, once I get going, and she was absolutely, I made her blush. I made Kel blush, guys. Yeah. Didn't I, Kel?
No, as long as you're getting treatment and you're getting better, that is the only thing we care about.
Amen.
If you glow green, that we won't be afraid of you, Jeff.
Yeah,
don't make Jeff angry. You won't like Jeff when he's angry.
That won't be the Incredible Hulk. I'll be the Incredible Sulk. But I've got to congratulate you ladies and gentlemen out there for the great show that you put in on this evening. As you say, it's a new show. I'm really pleased to hear Jan on the show as well. She's, as you say, she works tirelessly.
Terrific.
With the work that she's been doing over the years and of lone vigils that she's done when she went up to Aberdeen. So God bless Jan and what she's doing. That's what I'm saying. We're all in this together. We do know. I was listening to what you said about, or Jan was saying about in Cardiff, where these, jihadists, whatever it was, the Palestinian lot, started to descend upon a pub of people that was having a quiet drink, started a bit of a write-off there, and no police in sight. This is the problem with this country. This police, they should be policing the areas where this is going on.
Before you move into that, and I want to hear
sorry.
This, but you have a comment from the chat room, and this is from Bigfoot. He said, if Jeff glows green, he will scare away all the spiders.
Well, I don't know about
every
cloud has a silver lining. Well, I might attract them. Well, I've thrown you off your stride,
I'll allow you to get back on and onto it.
Of course, there's always the possibility, Jeff, that with all that radiation around, you know, what were the little spiders scuttling around your house are going to mutate into giant spiders. I think that's highly probable.
You read my mind, didn't you, Tim? It's exactly what I was going to say. That's what I'm a bit concerned about. All these little bugs are going to turn out to be big bugs.
EDL Mix says in the chat room, he needs to stand in front of the line of a demo. He may scare off the muzzrats. Jeff,
I'll make them glow
you know
a bit,
what?
Wouldn't I?
You might be the ultimate secret weapon.
I'll just pee on them. We'll have our own firework display. Yeah, why not? But Anyway, I'm adding a bit of lightheartedness. You just say, I'm talking about some serious things that's going on in this country. You know,
even in
the dark, we can bring the light. And I hope that's what we that I
some of us tonight. Some of us can bring the light more easily than others, it sounds to me.
We'll see light, eh? Tim, you get
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Islam Exposed Comedy Central.
Trouble is, we get together and we cause absolute chaos, don't we, guys? And of course, Dave's sitting there quietly, causing chaos as usual.
Oh no, I'm just giggling, waiting for my moment. You know, I mean, we're talking about people waiting for their moments, and you know, they have no sense of humor, but we do. And here's the real difference: they wait for the moment to commit violence. We wait for the moment to make a laugh. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if we're at war, we're still having a laugh. Hey, look at that one. He went down quick.
Oh, yeah, you have to. You have to.
Do you know what I mean? That's what makes us different. You run along with Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. You know, someone's just died. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. What's all that about? You know, someone lying dead and they're going,
Allah Akbar. Over here in the States, if someone's hearing wasn't very good, you know, they'd probably say, well, I don't know where the snack bar is. Stop yelling at me.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know, because have you noticed, Dave, and Kel and Tim, when there's bombs going off, all you hear in the background, and whether they're being blown up or not, is Allah Akbar. Well, you know, they're welcoming death. They're running towards death. They're running towards bombs dropping on them. These people are so whacked out. I don't know what drugs they're on, but you've got to be on drugs when you're like that. Mm. I mean, or is it just that they're so possessed with this evil cult of theirs, Tim? There you go. There's food for thought for us all.
Well, I mean, that is the answer. Islam induces a psych. In those Muslims that take it seriously. I think it's reasonable to say that to the extent that a Muslim becomes more involved and more devout with Islam, the more he loses his humanity and the more he is prone to psychosis and developing a psychopathic side to his personality. So I don't think it's unreasonable to take that view. I don't think you need to particularly invoke hallucinogenic substances. I mean, there may be one or two of them who do that as well, but I would say that by and large, a lot of them are doing it because they have literally lost their humanity because of the extent that Islam has taken them over. And I think if you were to say that to take Islam on board in the way that a devout Muslim is encouraged to do so brings about the development of mental illness in specifically psychosis and psychopathic behavior, I don't think it's too much to actually stretch the argument that that's actually what's happening. And indeed there have been psychological studies. I'm thinking particularly of a Danish psychologist called Nikolai Senels, and I'll try and find a link to drop in the chat room, who's actually researched this very subject and produced a paper which basically asks the question, what is it about Islam that produces psychopathic monsters that have got no regard for their fellow human beings? And it is the fact that Islam takes away the humanity from those people who immerse themselves in it. I'll see if I can find the link, but I'll leave it at that and pass the microphone back to you, Jeff.
I thought
I was going to pass it to Kel.
I did. I was like that. But
yeah,
Tim,
I know.
I'll tell you what.
It's like That's okay, Tim. That was fantastic. I've got
the link as well. I've got the link, Kel, so I'm just going to drop that into the chat room in
good
about
man.
10 seconds time.
Right on.
That's brilliant.
Oh my goodness, the show is going just way too darned fast, and I want to hold our respective governments' feet to the fire. And Tim, I want to talk about George Galloway.
George Galloway, yes indeed. My favourite MP, George Galloway, my most favourite MP of them all. I can tell you a little bit about George Galloway. The first thing I'm going to tell you is I never trusted the guy after I saw him on the Big Brother show where they lock a dozen wannabe celebrities into a house for 6 weeks. Yeah. George Galloway was one of them. And when I saw him dress up in a cat suit and lick cream out of ruler Lenska's hands, I thought that is not a person that I think should be entrusted with a seat in the House of Commons as an MP.
No.
And subsequent events have proved me right. So that's the first thing I'd like to say about George Galloway.
Well said.
But this business with him in the press just recently. For those of you who don't know, he's an MP for Bradford. I forget which part of Bradford. It's either Bradford West or Islamabad East.
Bradford West,
remember.
I think it is too.
It's Bradford West, okay. Otherwise known as Islamabad East, but that's beside the point. He stood up at a recent event and said that he didn't want to see any Israelis in Bradford at all. He didn't want to see any Israeli businesses, any Israeli tourists, or, you know, basically telling Israelis not to come to Bradford because they wouldn't be welcome. Now, if anybody else had stood up and said something like that about Muslims, well, we all know what the result would have been. Your feet wouldn't have touched the ground. You'd have been arrested, charged and prosecuted in no time flat for racial hatred or incitement to racial hatred. But when it's open season on Jews, as it seems to be all throughout Europe at the moment, somebody like George Galloway stands up and says these things and he thinks he can get away with it. I am pleased to report, though, that he has been referred to West Yorkshire Police, who are currently investigating him for incitement to racial hatred, and
yes,
I really hope
is.
That something comes of it. One
excellent.
Of my colleagues,
I'd like
actually,
to be seeing him in front of the courts, because what he said there, basically, and what I'd like to hear him say is to be a Holocaust denier, because people can arrest people, you know, you can go up and arrest someone, a citizen's arrest, and take them in front of the police station and say he's talking about Holocaust denial. That is imprisonable, isn't it? And that covers the whole of Europe. Anybody's, talks out about being a Holocaust denier, something like that, can be liable to imprisonment. And
it's certainly true in Germany. It's certainly true in Germany.
My apologies then.
Germany.
I think if you were to do it over here, you wouldn't get charged with that specific offence, but you might well get charged with inciting racial hatred, which is a much broader charge. But there's no question that George Galloway ought to be arrested, charged and prosecuted for inciting racial hatred, because at the end of the day, Jews are a race. It's not,
good
you know, girl. if you insult Muslims, as certain people of my acquaintance may have done in the past, mentioning no names, just looking in the mirror here, and you stand up in the court and the prosecutor says, you were just trying to indulge in racial aggravation. It's quite easy to say that Islam is not a race and Muslims are not a racial group, but you cannot say that when Jews are involved, because they are a race, and therefore incitement to racial hatred is applicable.
I think it's, I don't know about you, the way that you think about it, Tim and Kel and Agador, but my feelings is that I feel like I'm back in the 30s with the witch hunt on the Israeli people. I just cannot believe that we're going through like the 30s around, you know, right away around Europe. The anti-Semitism, just get it right, it's new Semitism, is really rife, and it's quite distressing, quite upsetting to realise that, you know, as we said, never again. But it seems like it's raising its ugly head once again, isn't it, guys? And all Israel's doing is defending itself, its people. And this is what happens when you lift your hand and you're a Jewish and you protect your land and your people. You get the world condemnation. You get the people like the load of traitors within the United Nations, which are probably Islamized themselves, and most of them is the main problem. And of course, any inquiries, I'll be the same as what I think they're going to do is totally, you know, totally ignore it. Do their own internal inquiries about exactly what went on during the conflict. Anything needs to be sorted out, and we sort out internally, you know, and that's the way to do it, because we know that there's so many people out there who would like to bring in front of like a Nuremberg tribunal or something like that, the trials, and have Jews up there, because the Arabs will be they'd be like rabid animals, wouldn't they? They'd be salivating everywhere if they knew that that was the case. But it's never going to happen. It's never, you know, this is not going to be the case. But it does. I don't know the way you feel about it, Agador, and yourself, Tim. But it's just.
Well,
like,
yeah, I think
so. I think
your
1930s
analysis.
Go on,
I would love for Dave to acknowledge that.
Well, you know, yeah. Jeff, there's a guy, I don't know if you've heard his show. He's on Blog Talk Radio. He's and Pundit Press Media, by the way. He's called the Underground Professor. And brilliant man. And one of the things that
he says... I love that man.
Yes, one of the things that he says is that we have to keep relearning these lessons. A generation, we'll have a generation after something like this happens... that says never again. We will never forget this. That it was a horror, and we'll teach our kids about this, and this will never happen again. And then we have the generation that gets taught about it, and then by the time another couple of generations after that, you begin getting people. I think it was Jan earlier who said you begin getting people, for instance, who say, well, you know, maybe Hitler was right. You know, they're so far removed from the time. You know, because all of those people from that World War II generation are dying out. They're so far removed from that time that they can actually begin to think about it from different angles, and they don't remember the lessons that the generations before them were taught. So, yes, it's a sad commentary on humanity as a species, but we do seem to have to keep learning the same lessons when it comes to things like this. And, yes, this is extremely disturbing with anti-Semitism that's everywhere, and you would think that it would raise huge alarms in Germany, who have been paying ever since the Nazi days for this. But I think it also shows, just goes back to the theme of the first hour, the integration of Islam. I think it also shows that there are enough of them now to where they can begin to flout even those laws regarding anti-Semitism in Germany. And I will switch the mic back to Kel there.
And, yeah, we're going to switch gears, and this might be a little abrupt, but this pertains to you, Dave. And
uh-oh.
I want you to talk about...
That'll teach you.
I know. We're getting a little... Yep. I really want to expand on this story, though. And this is the man who hanged out. Hung a flag of the Islamic State. And we have some audio here. And, Dave, you're going to pick this up in a moment. I'm going to play the video right now.
Okay.
And, please, I hope I got
it. Fido home.
I knew it. Pop. Okay, we'll wait for that to end, and it's going to end in a few moments. But I'm going to play the audio. And, Dave, you're going to pick this up.
Yes, ma'am.
Harwood home has raised a flag, and that flag has raised emotions.
Just bothers me, you know.
For weeks, an ISIS flag was on display here on Winslow Place. People who live on this quiet block had no idea what the flag meant. until recently, after seeing more violence in the Middle East and after seeing Al-Qaeda waving the flag. The flag represents an Islamic extremist group.
I've seen a black flag up there. I mean, you can't really tell what's on it because the wind's not blowing all the time. It was, you know, it was out there. I mean, somebody saw it. Somebody posted it.
When this picture hit Twitter, neighbors here called police, and the man who has not been identified took the flag down and put up something else, but not without causing concern.
It makes you wonder, because, you know, you just don't know.
And you say you've seen it up there.
I wasn't exactly sure what it was, but I do remember seeing a black flag.
The man we're talking about technically cannot be arrested for displaying a flag on his property, but what has happened is he's now on the radar of several law enforcement agencies. In fact, neighbors out here say police paid him a visit just yesterday.
I just hope the authorities handle it from here.
Ed Bergen is a retired Jersey City police officer. He lives just doors away from where the flag was on display.
I know it's a Sunni terrorist organization that's committing atrocities in Iraq right now. And for a man to fly a flag like that, authorities have to get involved in it.
The man everyone wants to talk to wants to ask why hang such a flag was nowhere to be found. His neighbors say he's a loner.
He doesn't say anything to anybody. He rides his bike, comes right past us, looks straight ahead, doesn't look my way, and I just look straight ahead, and I don't bother him, and he don't bother me.
Nicole Johnson, PIX 11 News.
Now, that is very disturbing, ladies and gentlemen, that we're seeing the ISIS, well, they're now known as IS, Islamic State, and there are people in the United States of America that are hanging this flag. Dave, I want you to expand on this because this is very disturbing.
Well, it is pretty disgusting, Kelly, and it is an indicator, again, as we were talking about earlier. It is an indicator of just how much, given the population density, just how much how virulent these protests are, and how much the display and the promotion of Islam. Now, this story says this guy has said that he's been flying his flag for months now on or years or whatever, for Ramadan and other Islamic holidays. And I love one of the things that he says, apart from the normal taqiyya, he says, oh, well, no one had a problem with this until it got out on the news. And I equate that with a child abuser saying, well, nobody had a problem with this until they saw the bruises on the kid. just the arrogance of the guy. And I'll read the taqiyya line if I might. Let's see.
Please do.
It's not meant to be a symbol of hate. Islam is all about unity and peace. I am not a part of any group like that. I'm not anti-American. I love my country, and I am a Muslim. And as we all here know, you, Kel, Tim, Jeff, and I, that is about as straight up taqiyya and about as boring a line that we've all heard 1,000 times before as there has ever been.
If his name was Pinocchio, his nose would have grown a foot.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. So
Amen,
there you are.
Jeff.
So there you are. This is how, and I want to emphasize this for my American brothers and sisters who aren't experiencing what they are in the UK and in other countries yet. This is how it begins, with people just hanging these flags out and things like this. And when there aren't very many of them, they will say exactly what this man has. Oh, I love my country. I don't mind Jews. I don't mind Christians. Excuse me. I just want to live with everyone in peace and all of that. Give it 15 years, though, and you're going to have many more of them, and they'll be saying, this neighborhood is ours. We're going to put out a Sharia patrol. Stay away from the mosque. By the way, we're going to start agitating for Sharia law. It will happen faster, people who are listening, than you can imagine, because that's the way social change happens, and that is one of the things that Islam does. it brings about social change and the changes to their society. Back to you, Kel.
From lightness to darkness, is the word I would call it, Dave. Thank you.
Word up. Yeah.
Absolutely, Jeff. I couldn't agree more. This is rather disturbing, people. And this is why we have this program, Islam Exposed. This is why we are holding our respective governments' feet to the fire, because we've had it. This cannot go on any longer. You cannot have an ISIS flag or ICE or,
no.
You know. It used to be the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Now it's just the Islamic State. They are engaged in a global caliphate. They're moving into Europe. They're determined to move into Europe. I am very concerned, Dave, when I see these flags being flown in the streets of any town, USA, and this person trying to explain that he was merely, you know, showing some support for, I don't know, his home country or whatever the hell he was doing. It's craziness. It just really is quite disturbing. And Dave, please expand.
All right. I'll just give a line, because I actually saw this story, believe it or not. Now this is why some people should watch a little bit more comedy, because sometimes the most interesting things pop up. This story came up on Red Eye last night on Fox News, or actually very early this morning, and one of the panelists there brought up a very good point. Now this man says, "Oh well, this flag isn't a symbol of hate. It's, you know, blah blah blah." Neither was the swastika at one time. At one time, the swastika was a religious, a peaceful symbol, and no one thought anything about it. If, say, someone were to hang out a swastika flag or to wear a swastika pin or something like that, let's say in anywhere between 1910 and 1914, no one would have given it a second look. They might have said, "What is that?" But and someone would have said, "Oh well, this is an ancient symbol. It has its genesis in Africa."
It goes back to the Greek times. The swastika actually goes back well back into Greek. The Greek times, I read something about it a while ago. Tim would probably expand a little bit on that, but I think it goes right back to that time where you wouldn't even thought of the swastika in the way that we think of it today.
Africa. Yeah, Greece and Africa. You know, it was never thought to be hate. Now, though,
Italy,
it's
Spain.
Completely different. I'll pass the mic back.
I would like to know what Tim thinks about this. Tim, listening to that clip and discovering that the black flag of the IS is flying well and free in our democracies, do you expect that you're going to see this in the UK as well?
Oh, we already have. We already have.
Yeah,
there was an instance only last week in Tower Hamlets where a bunch of Muslim kids hung up the black flag over the entrance to a housing estate, Will Crooks housing estate in Tower Hamlets, and threatened anybody who came along who looked like they might be going to take it down. And it was reported to the police, and the police sort of hummed and hawed about whether they were going to do anything about it or not. And while they were humming and hawing and deciding whether or not to upset Muslim sensitivities, a nun came along and removed the flag. And, you know, a 77-year-old nun, if I remember
absolutely
rightly, came along and removed the flag. But what you got to remember, Agador's quite right in that at one time, the swastika was looked on as a symbol of, if not actually peace and harmony. It certainly didn't have the associations that it had after it was used
unity,
by Nazism.
Unity, is the word. Unity.
Jeff is
now,
right.
The message that's on the
and I had to do a quick Google search to bring up her name, and That was Sister Christine Frost.
Yeah, that was it. But the,
and very, very brave and courageous of that lady, with because they know she is. I mean, she could come under. Well, we know what happens, intimidation, don't we, guys?
We'll have to watch this space, because that's quite likely what will happen. I don't expect the Muslims of Tower Hamlets will take it very kindly that a kafir, let alone a nun, removed the flag from where they had decided it was going to hang. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be repercussions. We need really to watch this and watch what happens. But it's worthwhile remembering that when somebody says to you, oh, this is a flag of peace or something like this, what it actually is, it's the Shahada, which is the declaration that every Muslim will make on becoming a Muslim. I'm not going to repeat it in Arabic, because if you repeat it in front of Muslim witnesses, you automatically become a Muslim, and that would never do. You know, no. my reputation would be toast. But the point is that the Shahada exists on many different flags. That particular one that's used by the Islamic State, that's one version. There's another version which is actually on a green background, and that's used by the Saudi Arabia. And for Muslims, you know, to actually see the Shahada written down, I mean, that isn't anything unusual, but it's what it's come to symbolise and what it's come to mean that is so important. And I think sooner or later we are going to have to say this. Hanging this flag or displaying this flag
is a declaration of war, isn't it?
It's a declaration of war, if not an incitement to hatred. A declaration of war would be better. Of course, the trouble is that when you do that, if our weak-minded, lily-livered, jellyfish-spined politicians ever decided to do that, which seems unlikely, what they would be doing, they'd be outlawing the flag that contains the language that every Muslim uses on becoming a Muslim. Now, you can imagine that Muslims ain't going to take that lying down. But nevertheless, because it's a declaration of war, because it's incitement to hatred, it really ought to be banned. And the correct and courageous thing to do would be to say, well, we're going to ban it, and devil take the hindmost. And if it means that we have to call out the military
100%.
On the streets and bring in martial law in order to control Muslims who might get upset about that concept, then I say bring it on, because it's going to come sooner or later. The Israel-Gaza conflict that we have seen has brought it all out into the open. It's brought it all out into the open maybe 5 or 10 years before we might otherwise have expected to see it. So I say bring it on. And if Muslims don't like it, they are going to have to understand that it's our country with our rules. And if they are not going to obey these rules, they're going to have to pay the consequences. And I think to take it one step further, to be honest, if we're going to outlaw the flag which has the Shahada, which I think we should take it one step further and declare Islam to be a political organization and not a religion, and outlaw the public display of anything Islamic in public at all. And that doesn't just include the Shahada.
If only, Tim. Let's be honest. Let's speak openly. Let's be honest. If only. What we talk is common sense, and this is the way to do things. But the way that the political elitists are out there, and the mindset and the will to do these things, I don't think that this time is the right time, because the people in charge of this country, the Camerons, the Cleggs, and whoever, are not competent to do the job which needs to be done.
I certainly agree that at the moment you're absolutely right, but rather than wait for the politicians to get their minds right or to get a new set of politicians, I think events are going to overtake us. I think we've seen what happens when something like the Israel-Gaza conflict hits the news, what effect that has on the Muslims in Western populations. Now, it's not a huge
ripple effect, isn't it?
Imagination.
The word is a ripple effect.
Well, yeah, it's not a huge stretch of the imagination to say, well, you've only got to step that up a bit and maybe Israel will do something that Muslims like even less. And you'll see even bigger demonstrations, even more violent demonstrations, and our politicians will be forced into taking steps which at the moment they wouldn't dare to countenance. And to be quite honest, Jeff, I think that might actually be a good thing, because rather now, when there's four times less Muslims than there will be in 15 or 20 years, and when it might be four times harder to deal with because of the demographic explosion that is expected between now and then.
I couldn't agree Tim. Everything you said there, I don't know, I'll probably Agadol would say, I just nodded my head in agreement with you. But
I was going to say, Kel said something, Tim, which all of a sudden
the tune come to my head. I hope you don't mind, guys, because we are talking seriously. But what Kel is saying about, you know, putting the torch to our politicians. Well, do you know what? A tune went right through my head. I know I'm going to have you giggling, but the tune that went through my head at that moment, I was going to say something right then, but the moment was taken away because Agadol wanted to expand a little bit. But the tune that came to my head was, it goes something like this, Tim and Agadol and Kel. Cameron and Obama roasting on an open fire. Chestnut.
Very good.
I have to interject because we are down to our last 10 minutes, and I would like for you gentlemen to offer your final talking points. And Jeff, seeing as you are the most wondrous guest that we would have, I would like to offer you, first of all, your 2 minutes of talking points to close this out.
Oh, bless you, Kel. Well, you know, once again, it's so good to be amongst great people like yourself and, of course, our own very own Tim and, of course, Agadol. Actually doing a wonderful show tonight. It's great to see. This is your first main show, isn't it, of what you've been doing for the future, isn't it, Kel? Absolutely great, and I hope to take part a bit. I was a little bit late joining.
Oh, well,
tonight.
We want you back.
You're always welcome, Jeff.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's always a pleasure to be amongst, you know, my dear friends as we are, and you great listeners out there. It's always an honour and a privilege to be amongst my fellow counter-jihadists. And that's my point in the evening, and we will prevail. And everything that Tim said is, I stand beside Tim with the way he thinks about things as well. And same with you, Agadol. We got to stand together. We're in a fight together. This is war. There is war raging against us. And we've all got to come to the forefront. We've all got to answer the call. And I think it's exactly what every single one of us are doing in our own ways. So with that, I'm going to pass it back to Kel. Thank you very much for the time tonight, for giving me the time on the show. It's been a great honour. And
it's been an honor to have you.
Thank
and
thank
Dave, your 2 minutes of closing points.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to thank Jan for coming. I had not heard her before. I hadn't met her before. It was a great pleasure. And Jeff, of course, true brother in the counter-jihad movement and pro-civil rights movement, because they are the same thing. And, yes, you are always welcome, my friend. Kel, as usual, terrific job of moderating and producing, and as always, a brilliant panelist. And Tim, always a pleasure to work with you, the most erudite. We have a lot of work to do, and it's up to us. So I'm encouraging everyone to please join us next week. To steal a line from Annie, same bat time, same bat channel. And we will be here to give you the information you need on Islam Exposed. And I will pass it back to you, Kel. Thank you very much.
And Tim, your 2 minutes of closing points. Tim?
Tim.
He's rolling around here somewhere. Okay, I'll speak on behalf of Tim. Well, a jolly good show, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it. You sound Australian, Kel.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't want me to start.
No, it was a very good program. Gentlemen, I thank you all so very much for being here tonight. And I'll speak on behalf of Tim.
Yeah, sorry about that. I lost my microphone again. It's, it's entirely my fault. This bloody microphone switch, I tell you what, I'm having real trouble with it. But
you're down to 1 minute of your final.
All right, I'll try and
fit
it all in
statement.
1 minute. Thanks. Thanks to all our listeners for joining us. Thank you, Jeff, for being a great guest. Thank you, Agador, for being a great co-host. And, of course, last but not least, thanks to Kel, the best co-host the red-blooded male could ever wish for. And with that, I'm wrapping it up and handing it back to Kel to wind it all down for us.
Absolutely. And, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Islam Exposed with three hosts. That is me, I'm Kel Fritzy, Tim Burton, and Dave Milner. We have been graced with Jan Rennie and Jeff Mitchell. We are three hosts, three different countries, with one common denominator, our love of freedom and a planet rid of the scourge, and we know what the scourge is. We are so grateful that you join us and take time out of your otherwise busy day to spend with ours. We will be back, Islam Exposed, Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. But please listen to all the fine radio programs heard right here on the Red Fox Blogger. We have various hosts. We have Mike Holt of Restore Australia, and soon to be announced, a new radio host who is also a prolific counter-jihadist, and when you hear his name, believe me, when things are firmed up, you're going to be very, very pleased. Gentlemen, have a wonderful evening.
Good
evening. Thank you, Kel. I've got my show to do in half hour.
Good evening, Kel, Jeff, and Tim.
Good night, guys. God bless you. Take care. You stay safe.
Everyone.
God bless.
Speak to you
and
soon.
Remember, God bless Israel. And remember,
God
it is
Israel.
Mass Islamity, and we have to stop the insanity. Good night, everybody.
Yep. Good night, everyone. See you soon.
Good night, everyone.
What they do? They shout it in your face.
They do.